about how to maximize our success. Keys to maximize our success. Let me pass it to you, my brothers and sisters, this afternoon, that I believe that we do not really understand what stewardship is. Why do you say that, Weegar? I say that because whenever we think about stewardship, we're always thinking about what? Help me preach my little sermon. Whenever we think about stewardship, we're always thinking about money. But stewardship is not necessarily about money. As much as money is important and money is necessary for us to be able to accomplish certain things, my brothers and sisters, stewardship is not about money. Money is at the runt of the litter. Money is at the bottom, if you will, of the list of what encompasses the idea of stewardship. Stewardship is about purpose. Stewardship is about what, everybody? Purpose. You and I are shallow in our pursuit of purpose and success when we make stewardship a money thing. And so I want to suggest this morning, my brothers and sisters, that if we are going to be able to maximize our success, we have to pursue life with depth. With what, everybody? Is D-E-P-T-H. We have to stop being shallow. We have to dig. We have to follow and pursue purpose with depth. And like I did the last time in part two, depth is another acronym of five things that we must employ in our lives if we are going to be able to maximize our success. And we see it right here in this passage of Luke chapter 5 between verses 1 through 10. But we read to verse 7. For those of you who were at prayer meeting on Wednesday, I give you your assignment or pre-reading. I said go home and read verses 1 through 10, but we're going to be focusing on verses 1 through 7. Here's what depth is. If you are going to be able to maximize success, you must first be able to, here comes the D word, define your person and your purpose. Turn to your neighbor and say, define your person and your purpose. I'm going to give somebody time to write that because you need to write that. It's very important. If you are going to be able to pursue purpose and life with depth, you must first learn to define your person and your purpose. What do I mean by that? I mean you need to first get to know who you are. Most of us are confused about who we are. And because we are confused about who we are not able to intelligently discern the purpose for which God put us here. So we're chasing our tail. We are running in circles trying to figure out why am I here? Because you really don't know who you are. Matter of fact, a lot of us spend more time with other people than we spend with ourselves. You know, we put on these headphones. We are at this Nintendo or whatever they call the Xbox. You know, we're sitting at the TV screen. We in front of the TV screen. We're listening to music. We're always trying to know other things and other people, and we're not taking time to get to know ourselves. I heard one speaker say, you need to make a date with yourself. Spend some time with yourself. Turn off the music. Turn off the whatever it is. Turn the phone off and spend some time sitting and asking yourself, who am I? Why is it that I'm always bumping into crazy people? Why is it that everything I touch turns to mud? Why is it that I'm always involved in relationship with the same kind of people? And the reason most times, my brothers and sisters, is because you don't know who you are. And when you don't know who you are, you confuse person with purpose. All right, I'm going to say that again. Somebody missed it. When you don't know who you are, you confuse person with purpose, and you confuse gift with purpose. See, your purpose is not you. Your purpose is the reason you were created. And there's two different things. Deacon Scott, your purpose is not you. Your purpose is the assignment for which you were created. And your talent, your gift, is not your purpose. Your gift is the resource, Sister Matt Carter, that is given to you to be able to bring your purpose into existence efficiently and effectively. And if you don't understand that, the devil will bamboozle you. You got a great voice. You may be an articulate speaker, but that's not your purpose. That's the gift. And Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 10. He says, God has given different gifts for the purpose of edifying the body of Christ. So don't confuse the gift with purpose, and don't confuse the purpose with your identity. I know you're looking at me cross-eyed, so let me take you to scripture and show it to you. Turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26a, the first part. And you'll see something. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Some of you are going to turn to it. Some of you are going to write it down because we got a roll. I told you give me an hour, so I got to get it done. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, the first part. God says, watch this. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Turn to somebody and say, that's your identity. That's who you are. I don't care if you are broke or if you got money. I don't care if you are illiterate or educated. I don't care if you're black, white, Chinese, yellow, red. I don't care who you are. You have to know without a shadow of a doubt that you are created in the image of God and after his likeness. That's who you are. What we have done, Elder Jones, is we have confused purpose with identity. So we walk around here. It's Sister Lovey here. Sister Lovey, forgive me. I'm using all of you today. Sister Lovey, she greeted me one time, and then she did it a few times. She said, Hello, Brother Weegar. And then she said, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. I didn't say anything the first time. Then she did it again. And she said, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. And I said, Sister Lovey, I said, there's nothing wrong with calling me Brother Weegar. My mama didn't call me Pastor when I was born. That's not my name. That's not my identity. That's an attachment to show people what I do, what my purpose in life is. You don't see anybody walking around here greeting Bill Gates and talk about Inventor Gates. They said, Mr. Bill Gates. You know, but people get antsy when you don't call them Dr. Johnson. That's not your identity. That's your doctor, medical doctor. It's your purpose. Your purpose is to heal people. That's not your identity. So watch this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. That's who you are. Then he said, here comes purpose, 26b, that they may have dominion over fish of the sea, fowl of the air, cattle, every living thing, and over all the earth. That's your purpose. Turn to somebody and say, that's your purpose. And whenever you confuse your purpose with your identity, the devil got you. You begin to stress, bless his name, I miss him. Brother Milton, you know, I was visiting with him one day, and I was saying, Brother Milton, give me the strategy to your longevity. He said, don't sweat the small stuff. Yeah, you get all out of, is that Elder Bernard? Oh, that's my daddy. That's my daddy. Oh, I caught that voice. I may not see you, but I caught that voice. When you don't know your identity, then you get all twisted. You know, you get stressed. You get hypertension, blood pressure, because somebody passed by you and didn't say, Pastor. Why didn't they call me? I mean, your whole day is messed up. Because they didn't say, Pastor. A pastor is not your identity. That's your work. That's your purpose. And so God said, we're going to make man in our image. That's who he is. Even if he's not a pastor, he's some man. If he's not a lawyer, he's some man. If he's sleeping on the streets, he's a man. She's a woman. Made in our image, after our likeness. And I want you to know that outside from everything else that you are assigned to do. And this is where the enemy got our forefathers, Adam and Eve, because they didn't know their identity. So he twisted their purpose and confused it with their identity. And he got them and got us. Oh, but thank God we have backup. Jesus comes and he thinks he can play that same okey-doke on Jesus. And so Jesus is in the wilderness. I'm going to Matthew chapter 4 now, in verse number 3, and he brings the confusion with identity and purpose. Here's what he said. If you are the Son of God, turn this rock into bread. Prove your identity by acting your purpose. But acting your purpose using your gifts out of place. See, Jesus turning bread into rock into bread was not Jesus' purpose. That was his gift. He had a gift of miracles. And this gift was intended as a resource to facilitate his purpose in Luke chapter 4 when he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he has anointed me to open blind eyes and feed the hungry and bring the deliverance to those that are captive. That's the resource for that purpose. But the devil, just like he confused Adam and Eve in the garden, now he's getting ready to trip Jesus up, he thinks. So he said, let me attack his identity by confusing his gifts and purpose with his identity, and I'm going to get him, because that's what I did in God, Adam and Eve. So he said, if you are. And Jesus said, let me tell you, I know who I am. I'm God. That's why you're down here. As God, I body slammed you out of heaven. And you felt like a lightning. But you thought I cheated because I was God. So I decided I'm going to take off my God and put on man and come down here and body slam you again on your turf. So Jesus said, don't confuse my identity with what you think I should be. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. Jesus was telling the devil, up there I was God, here I'm man. It confuses you because you can't understand. I can be God and man all at the same time. But right here now, I'm acting in the place of a man. That's why I'm hungry. That's why I'm thirsty. Because men get hungry and men get thirsty. But men do not have to live by bread alone. Talk to the hand, because the hand ain't talking. See, the devil confuses our purpose with our identity. And he catches us. He wasn't satisfied. After the temptation in the wilderness, Jesus is on the cross. Matthew 27 and verse number 40. He brings Jesus back to the identity issue. You who say you can tear down this temple and raise it back up in 3 days, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Now, wait a minute. Is this what's going to prove to you that I am who I am? You didn't see me walking on water. You didn't see me heal the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. You didn't see me take that same bread that you were talking about in the wilderness, just 5 loaves of it and 2 fishes, and feed 5,000. Oh, wait a minute. You didn't see me go to Lazarus' grave when he was there for 4 days and call him up and he came up. And now you want me to, I wish somebody would hear me today. See, the devil will always attack your identity, Sister Erica, because he wants to confuse who you are with what God sent you here to do and use your gifts. That's why people that have the gift of singing can sing in the nightclub and then sing in the church. Because they don't know who they are. And so they let the enemy pimp, can I use that word? Just their gifts. Because your gift is intended to resource your purpose. And when you don't know who you are, your stress level is always high. Because people make you feel guilty or use your ignorance of who you are to hurt you. I remember I was pastoring a church. And thank God this is my 7th congregation in 20 years. But I pastor in this church. And as the pastor, I'm the nurturer and the spiritual leader, and I'm supposed to help people grow spiritually. That's my purpose. And somebody in the church did something, Elder Landry, and I confronted them. That's part of my purpose, to help them, because I'm a confrontational person. And I know you're looking at me funny now. Confrontation is not a bad thing. It's the way you do it. You don't have to cuss people out to be confrontational. You know, try to kill them to become. No. You talk about the issue. But this person got mad, Elder Bernard. And they were planning to get married. And so they started announcing through the church that they weren't going to let me do their wedding. I'm talking about people confusing your identity to either hurt you or to abuse you if you don't know who you are. So the word got out. You know, the word gets out. But then a month before the wedding, Elder Landry, I got an invitation in the mail inviting my wife and I to the wedding. And when we got to the wedding, there were two pastors from out of state that were there robed and donned in their garb to do the wedding. And my wife and I sat in the audience. And when we went to the dinner, the reception, thank you, people started asking me, Pastor Wigor, they didn't let you do the wedding. Why didn't they didn't even let you do the prayer. See, I'm talking about confusing your identity with your purpose. So I said to the people that asked, and they meant well, Sister Carter, I said to him, I said, listen, this is one of the most memorable occasions in this person's life. And they have the right to choose who they want to use to memorialize it with them. I said, I'm their spiritual leader. I am not necessarily the one that have to do their wedding. I said, they can have anybody. It doesn't confuse who I am and what my purpose is. That's why I came to applaud them, you know, to rally them, you know, to congratulate them and to eat this free food. See. Don't judge me. But that's why I'm here. Matter of fact, you want to know the best thing about it? I don't have to put on that sweaty robe today. I don't have to work. I'm sitting next to my wife having a ball. Because I know my purpose. My purpose is to nurture, to encourage, to help people see Jesus. My purpose is not to do weddings. See, it may be something that if that person needs that will help nurture them, I can do. But that's not my purpose. And that's what you have to understand. Because when you don't know who you are, you get caught up in people thinking they know you. And making you to feel bad and guilty for something that has nothing to do with you. So the next Sabbath, they came to church. And as their pastor, I got up and I said, we have the newest lovely couple in this city, in our congregation, and I'm going to welcome them to come and stand because I want the elders to come with me and lay hands on them and pray that God will bless their marriage. And I ask the church to stretch toward them. And we pray. Now, that's my purpose. That was my job. And do you know what that did? It changed the whole attitude. Matter of fact, the person and I are best friends today. Because they figured, okay, I thought I knew this man, but I really don't know him. Because he knows who he is and he knows what his purpose is. I didn't stop ministering to them. That's my purpose. But I didn't have to do their wedding. That's their wedding. They choose who they want to do it. And watch this. They didn't even have to invite me to it. But they did. And that chick, I mean that veggie, Ling was good. So if you are going to be able to maximize your success, turn to somebody and say, you need to define your person and your purpose. You need to know who you are. You are not an usher, Sister Jones. That's your purpose. You are Ivy Dale Jones, the wife of Henry and the mother of Erica and Quentin. That's who you are. And when you confuse that, then when they say, well, we're not electing you to be usher next year, then you get all out of whack. I'm leaving the church. What happened? God being so good. Well, they took my job. Why are y'all looking at me funny? Y'all act like y'all ain't never experienced somebody that did that. You're no more the head deacon. Oh, Lord. That's not who you are. That's your purpose. Turn to your neighbor and say, get to know who you are. So number two, let me move on because we got to go. The second thing you need to know when you want to live a life that have depth is you need to learn to entertain divine presence. God is always chasing after us. And we run because we don't want to entertain him. We don't want to make place for God and space for God in our lives. But thank God, he doesn't give up on us easily. We read in Luke chapter 5 and verse number 3. The Bible says that Jesus comes back to the lake of Gennesaret and sees Peter at a time that Peter really needs Jesus to see him. And Jesus climbs in Peter's boat after Peter have had a bad fishing night, Byron. Now watch this. This is not the first encounter that Peter is having with Jesus. Turn to John chapter 1 and go to verse number 40. You're going to find in John chapter 1 and verse 40, a brother called Andrew. Andrew is Peter's brother. And Andrew was one of John the Baptist's disciples. And John the Baptist is in the wilderness and Jesus comes by and John points to Jesus and say, he is the Lamb of God. And the Bible says in John chapter 1 that several disciples, two disciples, leave John the Baptist and start following Jesus. One of those disciples was Andrew. And in verse 40, between 40 and 41, the Bible says Andrew goes and finds his brother Peter. But at this time, his name is not Peter. His name is Simon, the son of John, or Jonah. And he brings him and introduces him to Jesus. But Simon doesn't have time for Jesus at this point because he is one of the chief master fishermen in the Zebedee Fishing Corporation. Matter of fact, at this meeting, Jesus identifies Simon. He gives Simon a new identity because he has plans for Simon, but Simon doesn't know it yet. He says to Simon, "You are Simon, the son of John, but now I'm going to call you Cephas or Petro, which means a stone." And Simon said, "Yeah, you can call me what you want to call me, but you know, fish is selling real high today." You know, and Andrew, it was nice meeting the brother. See you later. Because he doesn't have space in his life for divine presence. But Jesus has a purpose because he has named Peter. He has given Peter an identity. He has done what Yahweh did in the Garden of Eden when he said, "Let's make man in our image after our likeness." Now he has an assignment for Peter, but he's not sweating Peter right now. So Peter leaves. And do you think Jesus didn't know that Peter was having a bad night? And Jesus said, "Okay, I think he's prime time right now." And Jesus shows up at the lake. And Peter allowed or makes space for Jesus. The Bible said Jesus saw two boats that were empty, and he climbs in the one owned by Peter. And let me pause here parenthetically and let you know, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your night is. I don't know how hard your night is, what season you are going through. But if you make space for the presence of God, he will come to bring light into your life. Jesus comes and he climbs in Peter's boat. And he says to Peter, "Can you move the boat?" Now, read the redactor. He doesn't say, "Jesus asked Peter, can I climb in your boat?" The people are pressing on Jesus to hear what? The word of God. This is kingdom business. So Jesus needs a resource. Peter has one that is not working the way it should. And so Jesus comes and Peter entertains the presence of Jesus. And then what happens? You got to move if we're talking depth. The P is you got to partner with divinity if you are going to be successful. Watch this. Jesus gets in the boat. Peter gives him space in his life. Now Jesus says, "My purpose," oh bless his name, "is to preach the good news, but it takes resources to preach this good news. You have the resources, but you don't have no news. I got the news, but I ain't got no reason." Are we somebody we're here for? Can we partner here? He said, "Push the boat a little off land so the people don't crowd me, so I can be able to
preach to them. See, in the church, it's called tithe and offering. Turn to your neighbor and say, partner with Jesus. See, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached into all the world. But God is in heaven. He's given us the Holy Spirit. It takes money. That's why he says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that there shall not be room enough for you to receive it. Wait a minute, that's not all. I'm talking about covenant promise now in partnership. He said, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and your fruit shall not cast. For I wish somebody was listening to me. The problem with us is we refuse to partner with Jesus. Do you know the world does that? Everything that mankind who said they don't know God do, they learn it from God. In the world, it's called mergers and acquisition. Okay, so you saw a little moms and pops bank on the corner. And the next time you come there, it's called Morgan Chase. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. You saw a little drugstore that was struggling. And then the next time you show up, it's got Walgreens written on it. It's called mergers and acquisition. What happens in this contract and partnership is little moms and pops business or businesses that have large overhead but minimal assets wants to continue to thrive. So they allow large businesses that have huge assets to merge with them and acquire their assets so that they can stay in business and this large business can have more franchises. So it benefits both of them. God is saying to you and me, the little stuff you got, I give it to you to begin with. But I got some major business to do. And that business is to tell a dying world that there is a Savior that loves them and a hell that need a shun. But the only way I can do it is if you bring the tithe and the offering in the storehouse. Partner with me, because I don't have the kind of overheads you have. I don't have the kind of issues you have. I don't have the kind of liabilities you have, but I still need you. Watch this. I could have sent angels to do this work. I could have sent divinity to do this work, but I want to partner with you because I made you for a purpose. So bring to me the little you have and partner with me so we can conquer the world. And while we're at it, you're going to enjoy the benefits. And so, Peter let Jesus get in the boat. Peter rows the boat away from land. Turn to your neighbor and say, partnership. Jesus begins to preach. Watch this. I told you Peter met Jesus before, right? But Jesus was not significant to Peter's life at that time. But Jesus begins to preach. The redactor doesn't tell us, Elder Jones, what Jesus said in the sermon. But guess who heard what Jesus was saying? Peter heard the whole sermon, because he's there. He's given space. He's in partnership. And after the partnership, the next thing you and I need to learn to do if we're going to have debt is trade our operating principles for divine operating principles. See, when big businesses acquire these little businesses, there's something called DBA, doing business as. So when you walk in that little business and you say you Pookie and Sons, right? No, no, no. We may look like Pookie and Sons, but we are doing business as. So the things that we used to allow, we don't allow them anymore. The way we used to do business, we don't do it anymore. Why? Because a bigger institution has acquired us. Watch this. It happened right here. There was a school called the Berean Christian Academy. And then there was a school called the Martin Luther King Jr. Christian Academy. And there was a merger. MLK was having their issue. Berean was having their issue. But the conference that runs the Berean church had assets. So they said to MLK, we'll merge with you. We will acquire you. Now you're not just a Christian Academy anymore. You are an Adventist. So you got to change your operating principles. You can't operate the way, I wish somebody was listening to me. You cannot operate the way you used to operate. What do you mean? You got to do it this way. You got to do it this way. You got to, because you represent us. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can't operate the way you used to when you got God's name on your life. You got to represent him and do it the way he does. So this is what he tells Peter. He said, Peter, go and drop the net in the deep. Now watch this, watch this. Peter is a professional fisherman. Fish don't get in nets during the daytime. Peter knows when fish are catchable. And Peter applied the principle that he knew for when fish are catchable, and he flunked big time. So divinity says, it may not be night, it may be daylight, and what I'm telling you doesn't make sense because it doesn't jive with your operating principle. But my ways are not your ways. And my thoughts are not your thoughts. As far as the heaven is from the earth, so are my ways from your way. Just do what I tell you to do. And watch this. This is what Peter says. Peter says, Lord, we've been fishing all night the way fishers are supposed to fish. And we haven't caught anything. We are frustrated, but I heard you preach today. And some of the things you were saying kind of blew my mind because I ain't never heard anybody preach like that. So since you say so, oh, bless his name. I know it doesn't make sense for me to take $500 out of my $2,000 and give $250 for tithe and $250 for offering, and my mortgage is $1,500. It doesn't make sense. But since you say so, it doesn't make sense for me to go to that church and put my money in when I got electric bills to be paying, water bills to be paying. Pastor Wegar's talking about next level debt liquidation. Don't make no sense to me. Matter of fact, I really don't care about his debt liquidation because it's not a debt that I made. It was a debt that the conference made. But since you say so, turn to somebody and say, since he says so.
See, God will never make sense to us. And because we refuse to change our operating principles, we are stuck where we are. One of the things about changing our operating principles is also recognizing the time and the seasons we're in. Remember I told you, seasons don't last forever. Seasons do come to an end. And I'm so glad that God is not stuck on tradition and seasons. God does not change his principles, but he changes his method based on the time and the season he is acting in the affairs of mankind. Stop, rewind, press play. Thank you. God does not change his principle. You and I should, and take on his principle. But God changes his methodology of reaching mankind in the time and season he's trying to reach them. And the reason we are not successful is because we refuse to change our operating principle and our methodology. Go to Walmart right now. You have 3 or 4 cash registers that got nobody standing to it. And you can get mad all you want and talk about, I'm not going to those cash register because there's nobody there. And I came here to buy stuff. You'd be standing there for an hour in that line with 600 other people. Because in that season, there's something called technology that allows you to ring yourself up, get your receipt, and go on your merry way, smile at the door checker. And Walmart realized it. 5, 10 years ago, 20 people were at those registers. Hey, wait a minute. That was a time when we used to. And I don't know, I told you guys I was born in Africa. You guys had all this blessings here. But we had a telephone that you used to put your finger on number 4 and you roll it up. And then it go tet, 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 4. Okay, anybody else feeling me? Okay. You got my drift. You had to dial 8 numbers. Sister Raquel, you weren't born yet. But you had to go 1, 5. 1, 6. I don't see anybody walking around here talking about, I ain't changing my telephone to no push button because, you know, my mama had this telephone and my daddy had this telephone. And, you know, we grew up on this telephone. Now all y'all walking around with cell phones on your hips. Because even the world got enough sense to change the methodology. Same principle of communication, just a different method because of the season we're in. It is only the church of the living God that is stuck on stupid. And we're wondering why we ain't getting anywhere. Everybody else is changing with the times. I don't see none of you walking around here talking about, you know, I will never use a debit card. Because when my mama raised us, she would count that money in your hand and talk about, don't leave if somebody give it to you till you count it in front of them. Now somebody walk up to you. Can you lend me a 10? Oh, I don't have no cash. I got all credit and debit cards. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, you want to be stuck. And you are wondering
Why we got all these empty pews?
Because we're stuck. Let me tell you something. I thank God for dealing with us with different methods, same principle. Watch this. He brings the children of Israel out of Egypt, Elder Landry. They get to the Red Sea. That season, they're panicking. He tells Moses, stretch the rod. The sea opens. What's the principle? Deliverance. 40 years later, he takes them to the Jordan. Another body of water. He tells Joshua, tell the priests to step in the water. See, if we were there, oh, wait a minute, Joshua. These new age theology. When we were with Moses, I remember my great grandmother telling me that he just stretched the rod and the sea opened and it went out. Now what happens if one of the priests slips? And we come up with these stupid spiritualized arguments. You know, God said nobody else should touch the ark, but the priest. What happens if one of the priests slips in the water? And when God says step in the water, turn to somebody and say step in the water. What was the principle? Deliverance. Why did God tell Moses to stretch the rod at that time? Because Pharaoh and his angry army are chasing and he wants them to go. Now they're at the Jordan, nobody's chasing them. They're not in a hurry. God says, step in the water. And when they step in the water, Byron, the water begins to open. Before Jesus, you better thank God that God doesn't use the same methodology all the time. Salvation is the principle. Everybody say principle. Salvation. So he tells them, if you sin, bring a sheep. Bring a goat. If you don't have much money, bring a turtle dove. And bring it to Jerusalem. Then, after that, he said, I know Wegar is going to be born in the latter part of the 20th century. And with all the stuff he's going to be doing, he won't have the money to buy a turtle dove. So I'll just send Jesus. Same principle, different method. Jesus dies. We got sins. He doesn't have to bring a cow, a goat, or a sheep. He just gets on his knees and said, thou my everlasting portion. More than friend or like to me. All along this teacher's journey. Savior, let me walk with thee. And all of a sudden he said, if thou confess with thy mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, ye shall be saved. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If God was still doing the same method, you and I be walking around here with hers, like, move, hurry up, let's get to the door. Oh, look at Wegar coming. He got 20 sheep, 18 cows. What he done did now? You got to learn to change your operating principle to meet the people that God is sending you to minister to. And news alert. We're not here necessarily for you if you are already saved. We are here for the people who are not saved so we can bring them in. So why are you so concerned about us pleasing you? Doing it your way. You know there's something called inbreeding, and it's sin. It's called incest. And most of the time, that's what we practice in the church. Because it is by us, for us, and about us. Thank you, Elder. I told you that man was my daddy, or is my daddy, my other daddy. We're not doing anything thinking about. The songs got to be songs we like. The order of the service have to be something we like. It has to be something we like. No, you're already saved. It's not about you. It's about you helping other people. Even Jesus said, I didn't come to the saved house of Israel. So if we're going to be successful, I'm talking about purpose. I'm talking about mission. Then it can be about us. You've been in the church 40 years and you still want it to be about you. Do you know, since the new pastor came, he hasn't even called me. Man, you've been in the church 30 years. You're looking for the pastor to call you? You're supposed to be calling somebody. I heard we got a new pastor. I haven't seen him, but I heard he's crazy and he preaches like a fool. I need you to come go with me and let's see him. That's what ministry is about. That's how we get success. It's not about you. That's why, as much as, and you guys know what you see is what you get. I told you from the gate. And you ask Pastor Bernard, you don't believe it, because he'll tell you he was with me for 10 years. I know who I am, and I know what my purpose is. So I don't get on guilt trips. When people talk, I was like, okay, I'm going to listen to you. And when you get there, I give you a hug, and I love you. MoveOn.org. Got to get the work done, and we got to do it for success. So God can say to us, well done. So Peter now says, you are telling me to do something that don't sound like what Mr. Zebedee told us to do when he hired us. But we've been doing Mr. Zebedee's style and we ain't catching no fish. And my kids got to eat. Rent got to be paid. So since you said so, he said, Elder Landry, I'm going to. And the Bible says when they cast the net during the daytime in the deep, like Jesus said, all of a sudden, nets start getting heavy. Ships start leaning on one side. Somebody picked up a red flag. Yoo-hoo! Pookie! Fish here! Bring, I can see John and those other guys taking their boat because their boat is on land, right? Come on, get up in there. I hear Peter. They come and fill their boats. And it's still sinking. Why? Because Jesus was right when he said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not some, not most, but all these things shall be added unto you. They had all the fish they could catch. The last part of death is itch. You have to have an expectation for your overflow. See, when Jesus told Peter, Elder, cast the net in the deep, Peter was just doing it because Jesus said it. He didn't have any expectation. That's why the boat started to sink. It was sinking with the blessing because Peter had no vision of what to expect and how to appropriate it. Do you know God is not blessing a lot of us because we have no expectation? What are you going to do when when God gives you $1 million, you don't know what to do with 20. You get overwhelmed. You do. Watch this. Watch this. I'm not going to go to verse 10, but you go home and read it. You know what happened? When the boat started to sink because there was so much fish, the Bible says Peter got on his knee and he said, "Master, leave me alone. I'm a sinner. Get away from me. I didn't expect you to bless me like this. I'm so blessed. I don't know what to do with the blessings. Oh, God, I pray that we will do it your way. And one day we can stand out there and say, Pastor, we got to stop these people from coming in here for first service because the fire department come in here and see over 1,000 people and we can only seat 450. They're going to shut us down because God has opened the window. Is anybody believing God today? My brothers and sisters, we got to stop being shallow and thinking little. We got to think big in 2018 and have depth. We have to define our person and our purpose. We have to be able to entertain the presence of divinity. We have to partner with divinity and let him acquire and merge our little bit. Then we have to be able to trade our operating principles for the principles of God. And when we do that, we will have a mindset to accept the overflow that God is going to give us. And my brothers and sisters, God is waiting and ready to pour abundance in your life and pour overflow in your ministry, pour into your family, pour into your children, pour into your grandchildren, pour into, are we somebody who hear me today? God cannot wait to pour into us, but he's waiting for us to show him we got depth. When Peter saw who Jesus was in that experience that was different from the way he saw Jesus, when Andrew introduced Jesus to him, Peter was ready to follow Jesus. And the Bible says, Jesus said to Peter, come. Verse 10. And now, watch this. Same principle. I'll make you a fisher, but we'll change the operating principle. Fisher of men. Watch this. The Bible said Peter didn't give no 2-week notice to the Zebedee Fishing Corporation. Matter of fact, John and James, the sons of Zebedee, didn't give their father any notice. The redactor said they left the ships, left the fish with their dirty, raggedy clothes, all wet and soaked, stenched with fish smell, and said, Jesus, anywhere you lead me, I will follow. Wherever my lot may be. Though, are we somebody away here, man? And that's what I'm trying to say to Berean today. We need to have depth. We need to see Jesus for who he said. I'm done. Get on the organ. Because we got to close this thing down. We need to see Jesus for who he is and begin to do what he says, even though it doesn't make sense to us. I double dare you. I double dare you. Dare you, I double dare you to trust God. And I'm not going to call the name of this person. A few weeks ago, all praise is due to Yahweh. A few weeks ago, my wife and I woke up. We had a bill that needed to be paid. Bless your name, God. Bless your name. We had a bill that needed to be paid, And we were praying, God, we got to get this done. We wrote the check and put the money, gave the check and told the person, oh, bless his name, don't deposit a check till Monday. Had no clue where the money was going to come from, but we knew that the God we serve. After church, in this very church, the person came to me. I said, Pastor, can I see you in your office? I said, okay. And the person said, Pastor, I'm not going to keep you long. We walked in my office, and the person said, Pastor, my family and I were impressed to do this for you and your family. Tell Sister Weaver. I can't see Elder Bernard, so I put the envelope in my pocket. When we were on our way home, I told my wife, I said, baby, somebody give me this envelope. Said God impressed them to give it to us. And my wife opened it. It was the exact amount. The exact amount, Byron, to the penny. To the very penny. And my wife and I and our daughters started looking at each other. I know God lives. I know he lives. This is not the first time he's done it. This is not the second or the third or the fourth. He does it all the time. And he said, Weaver, if you stand strong, if you have faith, if you believe in me, I will take care of you. Just do it my way. Me, Sharon, and Jessica and Faith went home and celebrated the goodness of God to the very penny, to the very penny. That's why I'm here, folk. That's why I do what I do, because I know in whom I believe. That's why I do it. That's why I don't let you confuse me with my purpose and my person. I was at the board meeting the other day. Me and my board, and this is the best board I've had. We talked, and we talk about the issues of God that he sent us here to do, and we do it with passion, but we do it with respect. And I told him, I said, one thing you don't have to worry about is getting under my skin, because you don't. Nothing gets under my skin easily, because I know who I am. I've been through this walk, Erica, too long to doubt God now. I know who I am because I know who he made me to be. And I don't deserve it. If you only knew where he brought me from. If you only knew how he dragged me and pulled me out of that mud when I didn't deserve it. And you think I'm going to get all out of whack because somebody has their own brain and they can think and add to the discussion of the issue? No. I tell my boy, let's talk. It'll be bad if you don't express yourself, because God put you here to be a spiritual leader in this church. And he gave you your brain. Don't clone my brain. Think for yourself. Let's think together. Let's talk about it. Let's flesh it out. And when we do it, God blesses us. At that board meeting, Elder Bernard, and you know we have been at some, you and me, we got up and we held hands. And we prayed and we hugged each other. And we walked out of there knowing that God was with us in that place, and we are going to do the business of this church. That's what having debt is, brothers and sisters. God can bless shallow people. Every little thing hurts your feeling. I walk in, pastor didn't speak to me. Pastor's blind. He can't see you. It's nothing personal. I just can't see you. Did you see how Elder Landry looked at me? Man, that man probably, you know, I was twitching. He's trying to rub. It got nothing to do with you. Blood pressure all going up because he looked. He probably didn't even see you. Look, is anybody listening to me? The things that we allow to shake us. When you come in this house, my brothers and sisters, know that everybody else that's coming here have had a week that you have no clue about. You don't know what people been through on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and they're coming in here to let their hair down, have a breath of fresh air, and thank God for not allowing them to shoot that fool that was in their face, and all of a sudden you got an attitude because they didn't speak to you. You speak to them. If you're having such a nice day, you rush up to them and give them a hug. You don't know what they're going through. Have some, turn to your neighbor and say, have some depth. Have some depth to your life. Stop being shallow. And if we do that, brothers and sisters, I promise you that we will maximize our success. We will live a life that will reach and meet the expectation of what God has set for us. Who believed the word of God today? Who believed the word of God today? Yahweh, we're praying now. Everybody standing who can stand. We're opening the doors of the church. This is a special time. This is a sacred time. This is a time of war right now. The enemy is mad. This information that God, this revelation that God has given us, intended to transform us. The enemy won't want it to be effective. So he's messing with your mind right now, messing with your thoughts right now. Clear your thoughts, push them back by the power of the Holy Ghost, and begin to focus on what we are about to do. We're about to open the doors of this church. We're about to tell somebody. You can maximize your success. You can partner with God. You can entertain the presence of divinity. You can define your person and your purpose. And you can have great expectations for your overflow. If that is your desire, I ask you to step out of your pew and come so we can pray together and ask God to give us some depth. Somebody, God bless you. God bless you, my friend. Come on, put your hands together and bless God for the people that are coming. Come on, let's bless God. Let's celebrate now. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. God is doing something awesome in here. God is changing lives. God is breaking yokes. God is bringing deliverance. God is breaking chains. God is changing lives. God is changing operating principles. God is giving victory in this place right now. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh God, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming. You see your people. You see your people, they're looking for depth, God. And only you can give it to them. Now I'm praying for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl who doesn't have a church home. You haven't been baptized. You haven't joined the fellowship of the community of God people. And you want to say, I want to be baptized. I want to be a member of this community. I want to hear the words that this preacher is preaching here every week and apply it to my life so God can give me maximum success. I want to be a part of this family. If you are here, I'm asking you to just step out and come closer in the middle. You who want to be baptized, or maybe you have been baptized, you are a member of another church or of another community, you just moved here from out of town, you are here and you say, I'm looking for a church home, I'm looking to come by profession of faith or even by rebaptism. I've heard some things here that I haven't heard before, and I want to incorporate it in my life. I want to be a part of this community. If you are here, I'm asking you to step out. We're calling now for baptism, rebaptism, profession of faith, joining this church. Oh, Yahweh, we bless you. God, I thank you for Berean. God, I thank you for this season. I thank you, God, for bringing me here at this time and giving the people the love that they have for me and my family with all of our flaws and weaknesses, our inabilities. God, they accept us because they said you sent us. God, bless them. Bless every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every mother, every father, every sister, every brother, every elder, every deacon, every usher, every deaconess. God, I pray for our head deaconess, Sister Wilson, who is in her bed of affliction right now. God, send angels that excel in strength. Holy Spirit, heal right now. Take away their pain. I pray for Mother Morgan. I pray for Mother Lee. God, I pray for Sister Blevins right now. And I pray for Sister Hightower. God, I pray, God, for Sister Salas. God, I pray for Brother Denman right now. God, I pray for Brother Head. All of our members who are out sick, God, and others who are sick but didn't even know it yet because the doctor hasn't diagnosed. And God, I plead healing right now. I plead peace right now. God, we pray for Sister Milton, who's lost her sweetheart, her husband, her life mate. God, comfort her, encourage her, let her know, God, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. There's coming a day when we will never say goodbye, good night, no more. No more tears, no more sickness, no more pain. God, your people who've come out here today and saying, God, change my operating principle, God, recalibrate my life, God, give me more passion for you, God. Give me more debt for you, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will fall down in mighty copious shower right now and bathe your people with your presence so that they will never think the same way, be the same way, act the same way anymore. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise because we want to live a life of maximum success, and we know you are going to make it happen. You will do it. You will provide it. You will protect it. You will give us peace. We thank you in Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.